Today, I plan to finalize the anointed mind. This is in my mind the last day. Now, going away for the week was interesting because, and I said it was quiet and it was boring, it was nothing to do. But I got to relax and I got to think and I got to probably reflect. I still worked, of course I did, online and phone calls, but I got to rest a little bit. And something hit me that kind of blew me away, and I shared it with the people that speak to me regularly. That would be Lindsay and Esther. And so I'll share it with you, and hopefully you can use it. Okay? So I'll present it to you exactly where I was led to present it to them. How many have dreams and ambitions in this place? So when you work towards your dreams and ambitions, what is your function or goal primarily? Like you get up, you do what you do. What's your motivation? Consistently do the things that you need to do to make the dream a reality. That's a good. Is everybody on that same page or got different thoughts? That's fair enough? I submit to you today and challenge you that that's not your goal. Your goal is not to fail. Am I fair? Your drive and your motivation is not to fail. Your drive is to not do what you did that didn't make it before, or not to do the wrong thing that you used to do, or to figure out how to do the right thing so that you don't do the wrong thing again, or figure out how to get ahead so that you don't wind up still stuck where you are. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
God showed me that. And he said, if your motivation is working to not be a failure or not to be poor or not to be broke or to not to be where you are any longer, then the thing that is always in front of you and your motivation and the spirit you're drawing to you is the things that you're fearing, not the things that you want to achieve. If I'm working always to get away from something instead of to get to something, if my primary focus is to not find myself here again instead of to find myself where I'm supposed to be, my motivation is always going to be drawn to wind up where I am. I'm always drawing to me that failure. That means no matter how far I go forward, I'm always looking back at that as a launch point, and I'm always fearing going back to that. Therefore, that has the bigger image in my spirit in life. Did I lose anybody? Where did I lose you? Are you driven more by what you believe you're called to be, honestly, or by getting away from what you feel is a failure right now that you want to get away from? What's your real motivation? Let's be honest. Okay. And if you are, and if you've come to that place, that's a place that you've come to. You didn't start there. You had to eventually get there. But how many of us, for the most part, are still motivated by not failing? So if you've arrived, that's, I'm not saying it's impossible, but a lot of people have not. So I was always trying to build away from something instead of toward it. So God showed me, he said, then the thing that you greatly fear, as Job says, is the thing that you're using as motivation. You want to succeed so that you're not a failure. That's a wrong motivation. Am I losing you still, or are you catching it? My motivation should be the vision before me, and if the fear is still driving me, then I need a change of aspect of my spirit so that my motivation is toward the win, not toward the fail. That's like trying to climb the ladder with a bag of rocks on your back. Are you getting this? So God showed me this about myself. He said, you're trying to win to not lose. And that's a bad motivation. So dealing with this message on my mind of Christ, or the sanctified mind or purified mind, some of these things begin to hit true. And I'm going to go straight to scripture, and let's take this last verse I have, and let's see what we can do with it for today, okay? I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me know when you're there. Okay. I'm going to start with the King James, but I'm going to jump around. Ready? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Man, the King James is so confusing. That just sounds so poetic, and it meant absolutely nothing to most of us. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow. Now, of course, I done broke it down from one side to the other, so I have an understanding. But before we move to other translations, I want you to catch this. Gird up the loins of your mind. Let's start with that. Why am I bringing it up from this translation? Because we did a whole series on this. The loins of your mind and the being sober. And if you go back to that, this all makes sense. Are you with me? What did we say the loins of your mind were? See if you remember. Somebody said it a week or so ago. I think it was Ruth. I think you mentioned. I was like, oh, wow, she remembered that phrase. The seed? It was you then. Right. The seed of your appetite. Your loins is, okay, let's put it like this. Your mind doesn't have loins. Your heart doesn't have thoughts. Guard your heart like thoughts are in your heart. It's not talking about your physical heart. We went through that. I won't go through all that again. When he's talking about loins, he's not talking about loins. He's talking about the vulnerable part of your anatomy, guarded, protected. Your loins guarded by the shield, protected. Now, here's what we're talking about. He's saying the vulnerable part of your thoughts, I'm trying to say this. Correctly, so you don't think I'm being a wise guy or trying to be funny, but I can't think of a better way, so I just gonna have to go a little ghetto. Sisters, a brother attack you, what's the first thing you taught to do? Kick him in the in the loins, baby. Change the whole course of the conversation, won't it? So now do you understand what he's talking about? The loins of your mind to protect it? You go next to a man and move that way, we automatically do that. We little kid come toward us and like it's just a reaction because we know you don't want to be hit there. So it's talking about now that vulnerable part like that of your mind that makes you flinch. A man, if we see a video of another man getting kicked there, we have an emotional reaction. Sisters may not, but men go, ooh, 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 right? Right? Okay? I'm asking for, according to the scripture, that reaction to your mind. That kind of, ooh, hey, I don't want that happening. I don't want that thought. I don't want that. I don't want that evil. I don't want that negativity. I don't, ooh, ooh, that looked like that hurt. I don't want that. See, he's talking about protecting it like it's as sensitive as that. Guard it. The loins of your mind. And then sober. We went through sober. You all remember sober? Be sober. Huh? You she remembers it. You remember that? Sober? Dispassionate. Remember? Not getting caught up in the emotion of it. So he's talking about protecting your mind like it's a very sensitive thing, and don't be emotionally passionate. Don't be pulled away or yanked around by your feelings and situations. Now, let me go back to my statement from a couple of weeks ago when we were talking at Vision Builders, and I said, I try to wait until all my emotion is out of things before I comment. Remember? I said, you know, people, you ask me, how do you, I said, when, how do you hear God? I said, you know, even when I get things, I try to wait until all my excitement is gone, all of my thrill is gone, all my steadfast conviction is quieted. Because I can't hear clearly with all of those voices speaking against me or speaking to me or encouraging me beyond the actual real leading. Let me put this down for a second. I need to make sure you'll get this. Father, give me the exact words for them. Everything about the anointed mind is dealing with one thing and one thing only. Being able to differentiate between what the Spirit is saying to you and what all the other senses are saying. That's a job. Once you learn it, it works. But it's a job. Watch this. And once you get it, the flesh still tries to take over again. It's not like you get free and you get clear and you're there. Whew. The flesh immediately starts trying to creep back into its place. So I've seen people say to me, you know, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. Yeah, I'm trying to be at peace, I'm trying to have this. And then look like right away, just when you think you're trying to do that, here comes that thing that used to annoy the crap out of you, or that person who used to annoy the crap out of you, or somebody does something to you that bothers you more. Now, all of us have our Achilles heel, as they call it. All of you know what irks you, what gets on your nerves more than anything else. Can I get a few people to shout out some? What's some of the things, what's that thing that gets to you? What? So if you're walking down the street and they walking in front of you, so I mean if you're driving and the car cuts in front of you, you probably have the same reaction, right? Does that middle finger go up or you got control over that? Okay, but that's one of those. No, see, but we laugh about that, but those are things that everybody has that thing. I've heard of people getting divorced because the wife kept putting the toilet paper on the roll where it rolls out against the wall and he wants it to roll out the other way. It's true. It's unsanitary. It touches the wall and all this mess. And people go to, trust me. People get real anal about simple things, and it may be stupid to you, but to them, it means something. In their mind, in their loins, it's taken up a place, a prominence. Come on, give me some more stuff. Yes, sir.
Hair in my bathroom sink.
Say what? Hair in the bathroom sink. See? Whew! Somebody do that, they might lose their visitation rights. You understand? Here in the bathroom sink, okay? What about somebody ignoring you when you're talking to them? Intentionally ignoring you. I got one that's going to get everybody feeling like somebody's being disrespectful. Right? Don't talk to me in that tone. I don't like the way you said that. Huh?
Giving misinformation.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But
right, acting like you know stuff and you don't, but speaking of it with authority, like you know what you're talking about, and you know, dog. My brother. You know, just, okay, say I think. Let me say,
maybe,
possibly. Don't you talking like you got the final answer from the throne about it. Whew. That's one of them things. You got one, Mitch? Now, you think of one. I know you got them. What you got? The feeling like somebody's talking to you disrespectfully. Those are all. Somebody else? Come on. Give me something else. I want something else. That's pretty much what Mike said. Yeah, that's right. Like, yeah, my buddy. That's a real problem. But just for the tape, he said, when people get on the train and they know ain't enough room for them to squeeze, they big hiney in, but they try to squeeze in on you
and then
put their arm over on you. Okay. Okay. So we all know there are these things that bug you, irk you, push your button. Enemy knows them. He spent quality time developing in you. He spent quality time developing them in you. He spent quality time developing them in you. One of the biggest bone of contentions I had with my wife for many years is that I'm very neat and organized. She's not. She's much better now, but she's not. And I was overly. I mean overly. Overly. You know, I look back now and go, dude, you... overly. I mean, I had a record collection and every artist was put together not only in the name of the artist, but what label they were on and in the order that they changed labels. So if you was on Motown, Temptations was on Motown, then they went to Atlantic. So I got the Temptations Motown stuff here and in order in which it was released. And then the label, and then it was all in alphabetical order. How I figured that out, I don't know. I don't know, because now you got a label with another label, but there's a different alphabet, and whew. But this was my order. And then they would take a record out, and then they would put it any just first place they dropped it. Oh, see, I found one, right? You didn't know that. You couldn't put that back right there. And it was like, why is that so important? Why is that a cause for divorce, possibly? Like, why is this a problem? So here's my point. Things do trigger an emotional reaction. We've just acknowledged quite a few of them. We just acknowledged quite a few of them. Now, here's what I want to point out. That reaction, are you listening to me? Numbs you to the voice of the Spirit. That reaction numbs you. How many would you agree? It numbs you. At that moment, you can't see past the fire of that reaction. Simple as it may be, it's a reaction that for that moment, I can't hear. You said it. You came at me with this tone. And my response is like, don't ignore me when I'm talking to you. Don't do that. Because now my reaction is, okay, you know I'm talking to you and you're acting like you don't hear me talking to you. And, okay, so now I'm going to go all kind of places. So my thing is, wait, be still, check the loins of your mind. How are you responding to that? Are you there? Because if you're there, then your reaction is going to be a to attack back. Well, if my reaction is not an action, did I lose anybody? And you do know the difference, yes? Reaction is instant. Action is you think about it, and then you decide to apply an action. Now, here's what he's saying then. And then we're going to go to some other translations. Gird up the loin of your minds. That means you, listen to me, not God, have the responsibility. Are you listening to me? Don't look around. Pay attention to me. She knows how to sit down without everybody looking. You have the responsibility of right now, listen to what I'm saying to you. This is very simple, but it's powerful. Of paying close attention to how things affect you. Because whenever you get on the path to do what God has called you to do and you get focused, doesn't those things pop up some strange way? Just when you're trying to get it all right, somebody gonna leave some hair in the sink. Just when you're trying to have a peaceful day, somebody gonna cut across you in the lane. You and Jesus having the time of your life with your worship music, and somebody gonna call you up and say that stupid thing that you wish they hadn't said. You understand what I'm saying? So when do we come to the realization that it's planned, it's plotted, and gird up the loins of our mind? How many of you have parents or siblings that say the same thing again and you they know it ticks you off and they just go for it? You know how I'm going to react if you say that. So why do you even say it? That's not the question. The question is, why are you still reacting to it? Why is your mind still so ungirded and so free and so open to attack that they can just kick you in that vulnerable place and drop you every single time? You should at least have a cup by now. The men will pick that up. The women will get it later. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? There should be some reaction that says, no, I'm not letting you hit my loins. I already see where you're going. You do it every time I see you. I'm not going to stand here and wait for it. Are you getting the picture? With your mind. It should not be open like that to attack. At some point, you should be protecting it. Now you're getting it? Gird up the loins of your mind and be dispassionate. Got it? Got it? This is a good, we're closing up the message this week, so please, with all the stuff you learned, just lock onto this. I must not be controlled by my emotions or emotional reactions. Say it. You get that? It's big because the enemy will always hit you for the loins. He will always go there. God gave me this revelation years ago. It's a simpler way of explaining exactly what I'm saying, but it's different. I said to God, this person always pushes my buttons. And because I understand how a button, a bell works, and I understand how the circuit works that makes a bell work, God said to me, take the bell off the wall and pull the wire off of it. And then put it back. Did you catch that, or do I need to explain that better? What happens if I pull the wire off the bell? So when they push the button, what will happen? God said, leave the button there and let them keep pushing it. Just disconnect it. You got that? Leave the bell there. But disconnect the wire. You keep wanting to move the bell. They'll just go push it again. Disconnect the bell. And let them stand out there pushing and pushing and pushing until their finger breaks. But you're not affected. Sometimes them simpler explanations are the better ones. Gird up the loins of your minds. You get to the place that your spirit, the mind of your spirit is so protected that you don't let emotional reflux. You know what that is, right? You know that. Yeah. You don't let that just come out of you like that. You don't have that reaction like that. He's saying, be sober, be dispassionate. Don't get to the place. What I'm telling you to do, you got to pray about. You don't just say, oh, amen, I'm just not going to react to nothing. Yeah, the enemy know you will, and you'll get outside the door, and somebody will walk across Jericho's path. And you follow what I'm saying? You might get outside, five people do as soon as you get. You understand what I'm saying? This is the place where God begins to say to you, why does that bother you so? Right. So I told you the story where I won't go to the game with a young man walking up and sticking up his middle finger at me in Walmart. Only to realize that he was trying to show me his Minion Band-Aid. I would have punched that little boy, that young man out for nothing. Because it's a finger. It's a finger. It's a finger. Who decided that that was so vile that I should lose my temper and possibly go to jail for it? No, think about that. Who decided that this finger, excuse me, I'm going to stick it up at the, but who decided that finger next to the other finger should have that much power? Who decided? Who decided that N-word should have that much power? Right. And the proof that you know the word doesn't have that power is because I say it all the time and people don't get bothered by it. I don't want them saying it. I don't care if they say it either. Don't touch me. We'll be okay. You're not hurting me. I refuse to allow you to get into to my soul and take the steering wheel and run me into a wall. All from this one verse. This is the only verse we're doing today. Let's take that same verse now and let's go to the NIV. Let me know when you're there. If not, I'm going to read anyway. And it says like this, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Now, let's take this back again. So now we already talked about a sober mind. We already talked about us not reacting or having emotions controlling us or the seat of our appetite controlling us, our loins. But a mind that has a focus on a coming. I started this service by asking the question, what's our motivation in the dreams and things that we pursue? And we all came to the revelation. The truth is, our desire is not to be a failure. More than pursuing the victory, we're pursuing not failing, which means we're carrying that failure with us. No matter how far we go. Do you realize that people succeed and succeed and succeed and always feel like failures? Have you ever met anybody who's very successful and they feel like failures? Have you met them? I'm sure you've been around some of them. It's amazing to watch them. You're looking at them and you think they have everything and you like wishing you were them, and they're sitting there feeling like their life is just crap. They're failing like total failures because the motivation for him has always been not to be a failure, not to succeed, instead of succeed at what God has called them to. So failure is always with you no matter what you do. And there are people who say to you, it's a good motivator. Really? I don't want to be motivated by the fear of failure. I want to be motivated by the promise of God. Are we together on this? I want to be motivated by the leading of his spirit to my victory. I don't want those things clinging to me anymore. So when we talk about now girding up the Lord in your minds, I'm trying to point out something to you. We've been carrying baggage for a very long time. Somebody tells you you're a failure, you immediately want to espouse to them, well, I'm better than you, and I did this, and this, and I got that. And you feel this need to clarify yourself because what they say means truth to you because you still carry that baggage, even though you may not be. I submit to you all today, there's always somebody doing way worse than you. And in the eyes of somebody, you're a great success. Well, if they can see it, why not you? And even though you may not be where you ultimately want to be, you're never going to get there carrying what you were with you. So he's saying, gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, and be focused on why you're called. It's going to get deeper. It's going to get deeper as we go through the translations. So here's what our focus should be. Not what we're trying to get away from, but we're trying to get to. Set your hope on the grace. Set your hope on the grace. One more time. Say it with me. Set your hope on the grace. What is that? What are we talking about now? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, honey. That's where we are. Set your hope on the grace. What are we talking about now? Come on, that's a question. Set your hope on the promise of God. Okay, we'll keep that in the pot. What else we got? Speak up, speak up. Set your hope on, I heard you say, the unmerited favor. I like that. That's good. That's good. What else we got? See, but I like to make you think. I like to make you think. I don't just want to preach stuff at you and then send you home. Set your hope on the grace. Come on, people. People of God, come on. You know what grace is? You know what hope is? Let's do something with it. Yes, Sister Linda. On God, I like that too. But there's something God did. What she's saying is right. But it's not just God. It's God and something he brought with him. Favor. Okay, what is grace? Let's just go with that. Okay, yes, unmerited favor. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, what is unmerited favor? Your preferred. You remember the lesson. You remember the lesson, right? Favor means God's preferring you over somebody. If you his favor means you his favorite. And so unmerited favor means you God's favor and you didn't earn it. Let's make sure we have these words clear now. Okay? So he says, set your mind on or your hope on the fact that you're God's favorite and you didn't earn it. Now go back to the first verse and it makes sense. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober or dispassionate and set your desire on the things you're pursuing in life or things that God has called you or everything, not on not failing or being a failure, but on the fact that God favors you and you didn't even earn it. Okay. Amen. Amen. So let me put this in simple everyday language. If I favor any of you, you would get rights and privileges to me and things that belong to me that nobody else would get. Because I favor you. Because I like you. Somebody else might be upset about that. Well, Pastor seems like he always, you know, looking out for this one, that one. So that's my business. I like them. I don't like you. Tough. I don't dislike any of you, but I'm trying to make a point. My point is this. If you want access to what I have, you know that you have a disadvantage over the person who has my favor if they want the same thing. Correct? He said, set your heart or your hope, and I'm going to come back to hope, but listen to this, on the fact that what you're getting is because God likes you. No, you're still not getting it. Because we try to get God to like us through praying and fasting and being a good Christian and trying not to do no wrong. Don't say that bad word and hold the door for people even if they don't say thank you. And whatever good thing, deeds you try to do to get people to like us, you know, or get God to like us. You know we do stuff to get God to like us. Am I wrong? He's saying God just favors you. He don't just like you. He favors you and there's nothing you did. That's grace. So he's saying set your goals as you're reaching for things, not to try to not disappoint God, because he likes you anyway. Let that be your motivation. You're getting this now? I can do so much better when I know that I'm not trying to please God. I already do. So now I can just do it because it just makes me feel and him feel good just to do it. God gave me a revelation a long time ago and it helped me a lot. And I may have shared it before. I'm sure I have, but I'll share it again. I was sick. I was going through sickness in my body. I had wound up with arthritis in both of my knees. And I was in my 30s. They were talking about operating. And I was in pain. And I remember I was praying with all my heart for healing. Come on, you don't want to be that young and already I got to walk around with a cane. And I was walking around with a cane because it was the left leg. Then the right leg started acting up and it was like, okay, either I got to float. So I already knew this time. And I'm going to tell you, I walked with that cane for a long time. Except for when I went to church. That's when I knew there was something wrong with church. I know if I came to church with that cane, something was going to be said. I was in a church as a faith church. You're supposed to be healed. So, you know, it was almost like they made you feel ashamed to not be healed. It was almost embarrassing to have a problem or a struggle. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Okay, I won't go long on that. So I would leave my cane home or in the car, and I would get out the car to go to church. And I tried to find a way to walk cool so that it looked like I was limping. I didn't want nobody to ask what's wrong with your leg. And of course, there was some nosy N-word that always would say, what's wrong with your leg? And so you have to say, no, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'll receive it. I'm healed. Well, I clearly did receive it because I was walking with the cane. But when it hit the other leg, I went before God. And I went for God serious. Somebody say serious. You know when you get serious before God, right? This is serious, God. You know, all the other stuff, I need to let you know, God, that what I'm going through right now is serious to me. One, it's making me look like a jerk. Two, it hurts and I don't like it. And three, it's making me look like a jerk. Like I don't really trust you or believe in you. Come on, God. Am I the only person who's been through this? I'm trying to keep my church face on here. I'm trying to be a good Christian here. This ain't playing well. So it's sad, but that's what church has taught us. So I'm sitting there this night before God, and I mean, I'm praying about it, and I get up this Sunday and I go to church. And God's grace. It's like the pain was subside enough for me to make it to church. But then during the course of the week, I'm right back where I started. And I was sitting in church and this gentleman stood up and he talked about his healing. And he said, he was talking about this, he had this very serious pain in his back. And he talked about how he was praying and claiming he was healed and reading the scriptures and claiming he was healed. And he would sit down in the chair, oh my God, I'm healed. Healed him, healed him, healed him, healed him in Jesus' name. He said, and he heard the voice of the Lord speak to him and say, if you believe you're healed, why don't you act like it? He's sitting there, I'm nursing his pain, claiming he's healed. And I heard him say that, and it spoke to me, and I went home, and I said, okay, God, I'm going to ignore the pain, and I'm going to just bite my own lip off, and I'm going to just act like I'm healed. And God says, stop. That's a good word, and that's a word in due season for him, but that's not what your issue is right now. So all of that to get you to here. How many of you want to hear the finish line of this? God said, here's your problem. You're looking at healing as something to be obtained. So here's the picture he showed me. You're standing here. Your healing's there at that door. And you're fighting through the pain and through the struggle and through the thoughts and through the devil and rebuking and claiming and all that to get to that place where your healing is. He said, the problem with that philosophy is I was wounded for your transgression. I was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was laid on me, and by my stripes you were healed and made whole. He said, you're already at the door. You're walking backwards. You're walking away from healing to get to healing. I'm telling you that you already are. He said, the enemy has you and most of the church going this way, say, I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. Instead of just saying, I'm already here. I'm here. Now, that's a change of spirit that had to happen. Understand something. It wasn't that I was so super spiritual. God spoke that word to me, and it was rhema to my spirit, and it clicked, and I said, that's it. I didn't just jump up right then and run around the room and do a holy dance like people would say they did. But that night, I remember I went to bed, and my leg was hurting more that night than it ever had before after I got the revelation, because the enemy's going to push back. But I said, God, based on what you said to me, I am not going to faint. I don't care if the leg hurts so much that it pops off and rolls off on the floor. I am not changing my stand right now and my faith. My loins were girded up and my focus was on, my hope was in the grace at this point. It was no longer in, I'm claiming, I'm believing, I'm working toward it. I'm doing the things. I'm sowing an extra seed. I'm being extra nice to people. I'm doing all the stuff I could to make God. See, God, ain't I good, God? Am I good enough for healing? All of a sudden it hit me. I am. And that revelation became the hope. And that hope is what I begin to, are you with me now? I put my faith in that hope, that grace, that it was mine because you already gave it to me when you died for me. And all of a sudden, I went to sleep that night. And I woke up the next morning and I was totally, totally healed. The my leg was still swollen. There was still a little bit of pain, but I was able to run around, jump around, and never went back again. Just kept going forward. Some people get healed like that, but the Bible said in some cases, he said, God prayed for them, and that self same hour they begin to heal. So there's some healings that's instant, some that's progressive, but either way, God walked me out of it, not because he decided to walk me out of it, because he gave me a revelation that it was already mine, and my hope was no longer in trying to receive it. My hope was now in his grace. Amen. It's mine because you said so. And some of you say, I know that, Pastor. Yeah, but then even when you pray, you're like, that's mine in Jesus' name. Because he said, And you're like Dragon Ball Z. You're trying to power up. And trying to get your faith to a place that you can receive something that if you really receive it, you just pick it up and put it in your mouth because it's yours. Pick it up and put it in your pocket. Walk away with it. You don't go through a whole bunch of, it's mine in Jesus' name. You don't have to do all of that. When you get to that place, when it's yours, you just pick it up. Sit it right there on your heart and walk with it. And anything that comes against it at that point bounces off of it. Because your hope and your expectation, your mind has been renewed now that you don't see it any other way than what God said. Listen to me. Sometime you need to pray for the gift of faith. Sometime you got to acknowledge, I don't have the faith. The young man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Sometime you have to acknowledge, God, it's not in me. But I know it's in you. And I believe you said it's mine. So I accept that it is. And because it is, I believe, help my unbelief. Sometimes you got to be willing to be vulnerable and not keep trying to represent yourself. I had to come to the point that it no longer mattered to me what it looked like to people. So when I got back and people saw I was healed, oh, praise God, you were healed. I didn't go, yes, right, I got faith in the Lord. I was like, let me tell you what happened. I had to lose all of me. All the stuff I thought I understood about the teachings and everything did not help me this night the Lord spoke to me. And here's what he said to me. May it be a blessing to you. You get less cocky then. See, when you're trying to have big faith, it becomes about you and your faith. And then you begin to have faith in your faith, not hope in his grace. I'm giving it to you a different way. God said to me, don't have faith in your faith. Have faith in my faithfulness. See, I know I sound deep, but God says this stuff to me. I'm not super deep like that. God just likes to make me look good. Now, last one. Perfect timing. Last version. Now we're going to go to the Amplified. And the Amplified brings it a whole different place. You there? Yes. So prepare your minds for action. Whoo! Do you see now how it brings it all home? So he's saying, gird up your minds, prepare it. If you get ready to go fight, you protect your vulnerables. Prepare your mind for action. Be completely sober in spirit, steadfast. Self-discipline, right? Not letting your emotions get ahead of you. Spiritually and morally alert. See, that's when you stop letting all emotions control you. Fix your hope completely on grace of God that is coming to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So here's he saying to me, don't get caught up in what's around you or what faces you. And don't go out against things that you haven't allowed God to prepare you for. Don't be going out trying to, I'm going to rebuke that. Okay, listen to me. Listen to me. Before you start saying, I rebuke that, what steps did you take to prepare yourself to just go rebuking spirits? Nah, you didn't catch me. Let me see if I can bring that again. So what are you saying? I got to do stuff before I rebuke the devil? Well, have you been rebuking him? Is it working? Yeah, maybe there's some stuff you should have done first. What did you do to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life, before you start rebuking the enemy? Before you start rebuking poverty, do you even know what you're coming against? Is the poverty out of your own spirit before you start trying to pray over somebody else's finances? I know people say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm like, no, thank you. Appreciate it. Because you're just going to pray words. There's some people say, I'm going to pray, and I know you're going to intercede. You're going to get before the throne, and you're going to seek God, and you're going to try to get a word from God that's a word in due season that I can use. But some people, they're just going to pray that round and round prayer. Bless the food we're about to receive. May it be nourishing to our body. And sanctify with prayer and thanksgiving. Amen. What does sanctify mean? I don't know. So you don't even know what you're praying over the food. And if the food is being sanctified, who's it being sanctified for? Sanctified just means set apart. But people, it's the thing you're supposed to say in prayer. Amen. I've asked people, what does amen mean? So be it. What does so be it mean? So be it. Like, no thought to it. So my thing is, everything that you are called or want to go against in the realm of the spirit, there's preparation that God takes before he sends you out. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Don't be just diving out there. I'm just in the name of Jesus like it's a magic charm. It's not how it's designed to work. I'm going to tell you, I won't go all into it, but that's the sons of Sceva. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? The demons attacked them and beat the crap out of them using the name of Jesus. I see this happen to Christians every day. Using the name of Jesus, but don't even know what they're using the name of Jesus on or about. So you want to take authority, and your mind is not even right about what you're saying. That's why even if you read about The communion, it says, and some of you are sick and some of you have died young because you have taken the communion unworthily. And people say, see, because you weren't worthy to take it. No, it's like you don't even know what it's for. You don't even know what it represents. You're drinking it and you're taking it and you're still not getting the benefit of it because you've taken it without the understanding of its worth. Not God's killing you because you've taken the communion and you got sin in your life. That's not what it's about. First of all, God doesn't come to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's Satan's job. He said, my people are destroyed. He's very clear about it. Not because I'm trying to teach them something or there's a lesson they need to learn for lack of knowledge. He's real clear about it. You are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What do you mean? You don't know what belongs to you, and you don't know how to appropriate that which does belong to you. Case in point, if I stood right here tomorrow and said, everybody in this room has $10,000 that I put in the bank for you. You'll jump around and dance and scream and jump and run around the room. And some of you will be stupid enough not to even come and ask me what bank and where is it. And do you have an account number for me? You're just so excited about it. Like you think it's just going to come. There's a process. And the process is, as God calls you to greatness, you listening to me? Prepare yourself. Gird up your loins. Get ready for what this is in the realm of the spirit. Sit with God and meditate about it a little bit. Get his battle plan for you. He always gave him a battle plan. He didn't just tell him to run in. The whole march around for 7 days and then blow the trumpet. These are plans. You look all through the Bible, God gave them plans. Here's the strategy. I'm just going to step out in faith. Okay, well, that's why you keep getting your face punched in. Step out in faith on what? On God's word. What word? That I'm healed. Really? You really want to gamble with that? I'm going to sit with God till my mind is quiet, till my emotions and how I feel about it in the natural is quiet, till my fleshly opinion about it is quiet, till it comes to, that's a good way to put it. This is a good one. So this king, I don't remember his name at the time, but he had leprosy and he was believing to be healed. And he sent for the prophet and the servant said to him, tell him to go dip himself in this lake and he'll be healed. And he was offended. He was irate. How many of you know where that story is? He was mad. How dare him? Because he's a king. How dare him tell me to go dip myself in that lake? And this lake, from what I understand, is not one of the purest, best lakes of lakes. And he felt, and he said, at least he should have come in and said something and waved his hand and, you know, done something. Like he was offended that the blessing didn't come the way he thought it should come. God threw him a U-turn. Go dip yourself in the dirty water. And his servant had to save his life. His servant said, wait a minute, old king. With all due respect, and please don't take my head off and all of this. So if he had told you to do some noble thing, would you have had a problem with that? He said, well, no. He said, so why do you have a problem with this instruction? It's an instruction. And he went to the Lake Minnetonka and he ducked himself in there. That's from Prince. That's not from there. And see, some of you are just like, wait, I've heard that from, that's from Purple Rain. But he went and dipped himself in Lake Minnetonka and he came out and he was healed. My point is this. You have to get clear instruction from God on the battle and how to do it. And that means girding up your loins, putting on the right armor, knowing what to take and what not to take. This is what to say and what not to say and when exactly to say it. You don't just keep throwing words up and scriptures up and like buckshot in there. I'm just going to keep shooting a shot. Something going to get hit up there. I'm going to catch an angel eventually. Our mind should be sober. It should be clear. It should be dispassionate. We should have focus. Are you listening to me? Yes. So when the first time somebody comes to me and says something, me and Jeff was talking outside. And Jeff charged me to record this Nama thing. And I was told, my mind was like 40, 50 years set in his way. I didn't want to hear that. But his fire about it made me say, maybe I need to quiet my spirit and hear what's being said here because maybe he's seeing something that I'm not. Are you listening to me? Maybe he's seeing something. Now, hold on, wait a minute. I'm talking about 50 plus years of doing a certain thing a certain way my whole life. This is the way I know it works. He don't know nothing about this field, but he came passionately with an approach. You need to do it like this. I said, nah, Jeff, no, you need to do it like this. And just to his tone, something about his tone. Now, like I said, who do you think you're talking? You don't talk to me like I'm older than you. Don't talk to me like that. You need to watch your tone. Now, it's not what you said. It's the way you said it. We miss so many of God's blessings with, it ain't what you said, it's the way you said it. Oh, we miss so many of God's blessings with, it ain't what you said, it's the way you said it. Let me say that two more times. Oh, we miss so many of God's blessings with that, it ain't what you said, it's the way you said it. We miss so many of God's blessings. God will have somebody come to you and say something to you that's your deliverance that you can't stand and you know they can't stand you. But that moment they were led by the Spirit of God and God chose to speak that way because you needed to be humble. And that king needed to take his behind down there and get in the peasant water. He's too big for that. He couldn't come in my room and just lay his hand on me and say some magic things or anything. And the servant said, you're about to die with leprosy. Are you really, really that concerned about what was said? And he took his behind down there and he got in that water and was healed instantly. They said his skin was like that of a baby. He would have died because he didn't think, he thought it was beneath him for this man to tell me, the king, to go get down in that water. That's peasant water. But you have to be sober of mind. You have to gird up your loins. You got to hear those kind of instructions. You gotta get still. Say, I have to get still. How long, Pastor? As long as it takes. How long you been stuck in this same mess? How long you been going around and around and around this mountain and never entered into the promised land? Israel did it for 40 years. How many years you been doing it? I got tired of going around certain mountains over and over and over in my life. I'll be still and quiet until I have clear instruction as long as it takes and whoever it comes from. Any one of y'all could come up to me and give me a charge. Sister Linda pulled me aside in the room a while ago and rebuked me and gave me a charge. And I said, I received that because I knew her spirit. Listen, if I thought it was her just trying to be cute, I would say, all right, God bless you. And I went, but I knew. I was like, yeah. And if you know Sister Linda, she don't say everything the sweetest, kindest way, just so you know. But she said it by the Spirit, and I knew it was God. And I didn't take the, I'm the pastor. Who does she think she? I was like, okay. I hear that. I hear that. I receive that. Amen. See, I don't want you to be offended. We're done. Because I'm not trying to miss God over my emotions. I'm not trying to tell God who the messenger must be. I want to hear. And I want to hear what he has for me. And sometimes that makes me have to be quiet. So I'll put on the news sometime and I'll see a figure up there that I don't particularly care for. And God said, just listen to what's being said and let go of all of that. Okay? Because if something I need to hear, I need to hear it. And I've been able to like listen now and get wisdom from people online that don't even know me. That I would have never been able to receive from before because I didn't like them. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. I don't like him yet because I heard things about him. So I can't hear none of you. It's him again. God's like, you need to be still and listen to him because him is somewhere that you want to be and are not. So I start to be still and listen. And when they say the stuff that's their rhetoric. I was like, okay, I'll ignore the rhetoric. But right here, I need to be still. Am I talking to you today? I'm talking about the mind of the anointing. It's sober. It's quiet. It listens beyond the reasoning of the flesh. It listens beyond the emotions. So, buzz is about to ring in 2 seconds, so let me read it one more time. So prepare your minds for action. Don't just go in, babies. Prepare your mind for action. Be completely sober. What is sober?
Dispassionate.
Dispassionate. Get all the emotions out of it. You can be drunk with anger. Get all of that out of it. Be completely sober in spirit. Steadfast. That means you don't move. Self-discipline. All the stuff I'm saying today. Spiritually and morally alert. That means you're listening for the voice of God in your spirit, in your morality, over everything else. Fix your hope completely on the grace of God that is coming when Jesus Christ is revealed. The key to your victory, there's a verse beneath that I want you to go ahead and read. For the sake of time, I won't read it today. We'll read the next verse after that for homework. The key is this. You listening? You listening? The scripture says, I'm going to say this slowly, but I want you to grab this. God has given you, not is going to give you, not will someday give you, has given you. What does that mean? You already have it. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. There is nothing that you lack. Not just godliness, life and godliness. So everything you need for life, you already have. And everything you need to live godly, you already have. I'm trying to be strong. Don't try to be strong. You are strong. Don't go through it backwards. You're at the door. Now just say, God, give me the plan. Let me silence my flesh and emotions and give me the plan that you have for me to have the victory in this situation. It's not one size fits all. Well, Pastor just said this and he won. Okay, but that's me. That's the word I got. You all have your own relationship. God has called all of you by name. He holds all your tears and vials. Every hair on your head is numbered. Not mine, yours individually. If you understand that there's nothing confronting you that God doesn't already have the plan for. If you're willing to receive the plan, however he chooses to give it to you, whoever he chooses to give it to you with, and whatever he tells you to sacrifice to do it. Whatever and whoever. Because God may tell you, cut this one off, cut this one off, cut this one off. But they're very important to him. I say, okay, well, if they're important to your success, stop asking me. Good luck. I'll see you in 3 years when you come back again with the same prayer. And I'll say, and cut that one off, and cut that one off. I'm speaking to somebody directly. I don't know who you are, but I'm speaking to you. Cut that one off, cut that one off, and cut that one off. And I keep getting three. Cut them off. Yeah, but they've been helping me for so long, and I would feel bad. Okay, I'll see you next time. When you come back in the next 2 years with that same prayer that's not working for you, and you bring it back to me, and I say to you again, cut that one off, and cut that one off, and cut that one off. And sooner or later, you'll get still. And last thing I will add, aren't you tired of getting lucky in prayer? You finally get it right, but don't even know what you did. And you get healed and you get a breakthrough and wouldn't know how to keep it to save your life. You got desperate enough that you prayed right. There's a strategy to it. And if we do it every time, it works every time. It works every time. So let's just end it on this. Be still. Quiet your flesh, your emotions. Trust God's favor to bring you through. Let your hope be in his favor, not in what you do or don't do. Let your heart focus on the victory that you're reaching for, not the failure you're trying to get away from. If you keep these things in front of you as notes, you're going to have to practice this. Please don't think you're going to walk out here tomorrow and you have it. You won't have to practice it. Ask God to show you which thing you can start working on right now. Maybe something small, but he'll show you. Let's work on it in this area. If you do it enough, it'll become a habit. It'll be a blueprint. You just automatically know. So like right now, every time something comes at me, it's like, be still, be quiet, be still. I'm upset right now, God. Okay, so be still. Don't respond. Don't call him back. Don't say anything. Don't, just be still. No, but right now is the time I feel like I need to say something because I got a lot to say right now. God said, yeah, and you got a lot of wrong things to say right now. So just be very quiet. 2 or 3 days go by, I'm not even mad anymore. Now I feel like I don't even want to talk to him. I don't got nothing to say to him now. I'm not even mad anymore. And God said, perfect, because I didn't want you to say nothing anyway. There's the sixth satisfaction, and we want to say it. God, be, shh, 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 shh. Just be still. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit. See, I love that. You inherit. Stay at peace. Gird up your loins of your mind. Walk in total victory in every aspect of your life. In the name of Jesus, we all agree. Amen, amen. And amen. Thank you for your time.